Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am very grateful to be with you as we take a look at our perspective in living, our little daily tasks, and all the things that are asked of us. How do we merge them into an authentic spiritual practice? It's an interesting art. I want to remind you, and hopefully that you will join us in our drive to have more sponsors to help us pay for airtime of our radio, our TV program, and all the things that Aspire does at hospice, all the things that I work on to serve humankind. I cannot do it without your support. Our mystery donor, who we dearly appreciate, is matching all donations right now. So if you become a sponsor and you, let's say, start at the base at $25 a month, he will match it. And that helps us out a great deal. It really does. So for your sponsorship, as you know, you get a lot of wonderful gifts. You get the message of the month that I record just for you. And then there is the commentaries, podcast, video cast for you, and 122 discourses I've done over the years on the various TV programs that you see on the website at aspire.org. So I hope that you will go avail yourself of those gifts. They're wonderful gifts. You can have your message of the month sent to you each and every month. You can bill your donation. I can bill you for it. Then if that works for you, which I hope it does, you can just send it in or have me set it up as a charge, and it will be charged the first of every month. So your donations are tax deductible. And if you want to know a little more about this, go to the website at aspire.org. And when you get there, you will see support in the middle of the page, the upper tier there, and just click on it. A drop menu will come down and it will say why support Aspire, and it will tell you everything you need to know about what it means to support Aspire and how to get started. And I would deeply appreciate it. I really would. We all have our daily routines, don't we? Things we have to do, people we have to see, chores we must do, projects we have, whatever. And I, from time to time, get these wonderful little emails about how to do them and make them meaningful. And though it has taken about a year or so to get three of these kinds of questions, I did get them. I don't think people think in terms of having their daily life be something meaningful. So here we go, and I put them together, and may this serve us all well. From Lynn in Toronto, every day is an endless array of work. Work that I find to be quite boring. How can I make it easier on myself and make it a part of what you call a spiritual practice, Lynn? I don't know. You know, easy is a matter of perception. Easy, difficult, up, down, in, out. It's a matter of perception. So I am going to say to you that I think it is very important for you to have a different kind of perception. If you can understand what I'm saying here, I think it will make it easier. The only thing that makes things difficult is relative to my psyche, my personality, my ego, my vanity, my pride, the way I look at things. And a lot of that is based in the genetics that I have with my ancestors. So you begin with the idea of here are all these things that I find boring that I have to do. It must mean that something within us, when we find this, is lacking. Everything that you do, Lynn, everything matters. Everything you do, whether you're cleaning a toilet, I clean a toilet every day in my home. I dust, I vacuum every morning. I make my bed every morning. And I do this to send out energy to my students, to send out energy to the world. I do it as an act of great love, an act of serving humankind. Everything you do goes out into the world and helps someone. You have no idea the power of energy that lives within you and how it affects those who are susceptible to love. There are certain people, Lynn, who are very susceptible to the quality of a great love. There are many more who are not. I understand that. But we're not here to change the world one by one. We're here to accentuate the state of love that lives within us. Now, how that affects given people here, there, and everywhere is an amazing thing. It's just amazing. I was reading about a football player who lived in a home that was built by the Habitat for Humanity. And I am very much a supporter of that. And he grew up in this house and eventually, you know, went to high school and college. And then when he became a football star, a football player, he came into a load of money. Did he forget his humble background and everything? Oh, absolutely not. He took care of his mother and his father. And then he gave his paycheck, his first one as an NFL player, to three ladies who work in the stadium who had a very difficult time, got wiped out in the storm that happened in Texas. Now, the money that was given to build those homes, the love that was put into that money to build those homes, was a catalyst for him to give money to these three ladies that needed help. I find that very interesting. I find that deeply moving. That he was that conscious and that they were able to be there to receive that gift. Now, you could say that these three ladies that work in the football arena, in the stadium, were doing menial tasks. Janitorial work kind of thing. Maybe working in the food business there. That can be very laborious. But evidently, they were grateful because that's what the article said. They were grateful to have jobs, and they went into their jobs with very conscious attitudes of helping people. And these three ladies did not know that they were drawing to themselves the help they needed long before the storm came. They didn't know. And the sweet football player that was going to give money to help them, he did not know that he would be doing that. He didn't know there'd be a storm. No one knew. But when the storm hit and everything came together, the love that was planted in all of this, the love that was there, started to rise. Everything matters. All that work that the stadium workers did, all the work that the football player did, all of that mattered, and it came to a point where there could be service to humankind, where there could be something kind and loving going on. Everything happens for a reason that is beyond our concept. And I'll tell you what the reason is. It is to manifest the energy that a person is susceptible to. So if you're susceptible to hate, you're going to find hate. You're going to find yourself in a crowd of people where hate happens. You say, well, I didn't know. It's what you cultivate in those little moments, Lynn, where you are doing things and saying things and acting out in things in ways that seem minimal to you, an anomaly. But nothing is an anomaly in this life. There is always that ebb, that flow, that basic beauty of life that is happening. And it's trying to happen right now. So when you are doing boring tasks to you, and your mind is saying, I wish we were somewhere else, anywhere but here. I had a Cocker Spaniel, anywhere but here, Pen. And she always was looking for another place, another place, another thing, another, you know, whatever. Nothing was ever enough. I started to look at her and realize that's the way my mind was. It wanted this, this, and this. It wanted to go here, here, and there. I make every moment my world. I make every moment that I'm in, no matter what I'm doing. After I get done doing this radio program, I'm going to make my bed. I'm going to clean my toilet. I'm going to vacuum and dust. I'm going to make things, well, as clean and as nice as I possibly can. I have students coming over for sessions, blah, blah. All of this is happening, and it is not a matter of serving just my students. It's a matter of consciousness and sending that out into life. And you never know who's going to catch it, Lynn. You never know. But whoever catches it needs it. Be that which you want to see in this world, as Gandhi said. Do the things that make love viable and possible. Don't squander your life. Don't. It's too precious. I hope you get that, and I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. That little concept I gave you there, as clumsy as it may be, is something that most people cannot absorb. So forgive me if I said things in there. You go, what, what? It's for those who have ears to hear. The next one comes from Jess. He does not tell me where he lives. How can I care about the world when I must take care of myself, my own world? It's getting hectic out here, Jess. Jess, you have to put everything in proportion. In proportion to your heart, in proportion to your life. And here's how it's done. You see things as they are. You see things the way they are. You see things for what is needed. You have to get the bigger picture. I care about the world, but you care about the world not only in getting out there from time to time and doing things, but in doing the little things. How you pass the salt at the dinner table, believe it or not, is service to humankind, because how you do it, how you send that energy out matters. Matters a whole heck of a lot. How I do anything is how I do everything, as the old Zen saying goes. So if I'm doing things in the light of a great love, then I have done something magnificent with my life. If I have not done everything in the magnificence of love, then I miss everything that I'm doing, and I send out a vibe into the world that is going to be caught by the collective unconscious, the majority of people in this world. It's going to be eaten up, and it's going to be a part of the smog of the collective, and that's where we're going to live, and that's how we're going to live in it. And it isn't going to change because I want it to. You have to see things for the way they are. You have to see things for the way they are. You have to see it in both lights, the way and the way. So take care of yourself. Be conscious. Take care of everything. Take care of every little nuance that you have in your life, every little nuance that you must do. I understand what you're saying. I get it. You need to take care of your life, and that is a very wonderful thing. So you take care of it. You do everything you do as though you are doing it, as Rumi would say, for your beloved, for someone you deeply love. You do things to help human beings and yourself by doing things that you would give to someone you loved a great deal. Now, if you can practice that, you can start to change the ebb and flow of your lifetime, believe it or not. Nothing will ever be the same. You will start looking at your life and doing certain little things that, need to be done. But when you do them with gratitude, when you do them in humility, when you do them in kindness, it changes everything. So you're taking care of yourself, Jess. I'm not asking you to go out there and be a Albert Schweitzer or, a social worker. I'm really not a Mother Teresa. Not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to do everything you can to make love possible. That's it. To do everything you can in order to make love possible. Care about other people. I have found, quite frankly, that if you care about others like you would care about a beloved or your own self, that somehow everything that is necessary occurs, everything happens, becomes very beautiful, becomes very loving. And all of a sudden, it's an honor to do what you do, how you do it, the way you do it. It's an honor. It's a privilege. So you start doing the things that most people would never think of doing, like being kind and forgiving, looking at the bigger picture of your life, starting to get into the flow of your own living beyond the idea of what's in this for me, what's in this for me. Everybody wants to know what's in this for me. Why is that so important to us? Because that's the way we think. We don't understand the nature of our heart or the nature of our life, and nor do we care to know. So we just go along in our life doing and saying the things that we do and say in order to achieve what it is we believe we need and want. And therefore, our life becomes petty and small, neurotic. People don't become neurotic for no reason at all. People don't become obsessive for no reason at all. It's in our genes. It's in our genetics. A lot of it's there. But to build a life that is beyond genetics and genes, to have a state of consciousness that exceeds the obsessive compulsive in me, now that is an achievement. That is something you can do for the world. Jess, listen to me. Try to understand this. Whatever you do for you to help you helps me. I will take what I get from that from you, and I will help someone else. And then they will do the same. And before you know it, we start building a network. A network of kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. And in this world that is so deeply necessary, kindness, compassion, I think it's obvious by now how much we need to live in the ultimate forgiveness of a lifetime. But we need it very much. So start looking at some of the things I've talked about here. Do those things that make love possible. Only do those things that make love possible. And remember, everything you do is significant. Like I said to Lynn, everything is significant. Don't think you get away with anything private, because nothing is private. Everything, as Jesus talked about, is shouted from the rooftops. What you whisper in closets can be heard everywhere. Just remember that. It will help you. And if you truly love humankind, if you truly love the world and you want to serve it, that will help you serve it in no uncertain terms. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's an interesting question. Last one comes from Jack. He does not tell me where he lives either. I survive to live and I live to survive. That is all I believe I can do. Why is it so hard? Giving is beyond my concept of living. Jack. Well, Jack, you have chosen a tough life for yourself. You have chosen the lesser path. And you're probably easily overwhelmed, emotionally speaking, and don't know why you're easily overwhelmed. And that is a genetic thing, I will bet you dimes to dollars. So the question is, how do you get out of this? How do you not live so much for survival? I can't tell you. You have to see it for yourself. You have to have a bigger picture. You have to have things happen in your life that make you move towards the core of yourself. So everything that is occurring in your life is trying to help you make that move towards the core of your life, the center of your living. But it's going to be negated if you can't see it. You have to be able to see what it is you're doing. You have to be able to see how things are happening, the way things are happening. You have to see that bigger picture. And a lot of people can't see it. So you have to start listening inside very diligently. You have to listen to love at all costs. And you have to follow love without wanting love to give you back anything. This whole idea of I'll give you this if you give me that does not work in the bigger picture of life. It is not the way of life. The bigger picture of life is about the state of love. What is the state of your lovingness? That's what you need to look at. What is the state of your lovingness? Now, once that is attained and you start to understand what that means, my lovingness, the state where love pours out of you, what is the quality of your love? Is your love hesitant? Is your love demanding? Is your love something where you expect certain things to happen and it better happen that way and all that other stuff that people like to do? If your love has a shape, a form, where you do anything to get something back, then you have missed. You have totally missed love. Love is something that can't be taught. It must be caught. It is something that occurs within a person when they start connecting to their origins, when they start connecting to the source of their own being. When that starts to happen, that's when the meaning of love starts to emerge. And we start finding the essence of what it is to let love live you. Now, with all of that said, you have to decide how far you're going to go in the state of your heart. If you go to that place, that beautiful heart of yours, you're going to be asked to give the whole thing away. You say you live to survive. Why should you live at all? Ask yourself that. What is it about you that makes it possible for you to even consider the idea of living? Why should you live? Why? If you understand that, if you can understand that, and you can ask that question, you will find the answer to your own question. Why should you survive? Why should you live? Why should anything that occurs in your life occur the way it does? Answer that, and you will answer your own question. Jack, thank you for your beautiful question. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. Great questions this week. Very grateful to the people that write me. If you ever have a comment or question, you know, you can reach me by going to the website at aspire.org. And there you will see a little button that says media. If you pull that down, you'll see Satsang with Siraj. That's me. And you can click on that and email me from there if you like, or leave a comment. Whatever you want to do, it's there for you. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I'll be back on the air next week. Please forgive me. Namaste.